All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is November 1, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We had our first cold spell yesterday, and boy, it was cold. The wind was blowing. Temperature was dropping. It was awesome. A little better today. I am off today. It is Wednesday. Thought I would come upstairs, see if we can do a little podcast. I haven't done one for a couple days. And I thought, well, let's go see what we can do. I did go up and see my father. Yesterday was Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you for your service to all. To the families and everything. I tried to call my dad. My dad has this, for some reason, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with my dad. But my dad used to, you know, build computers, write programs, you know, run small businesses. My dad wrote up this whole program to run this. He used to have a specialty advertising business. And he wrote the whole program himself. And, you know, it was great, but also ended up kind of keeping him locked into a box because he couldn't upgrade his computer because it wouldn't upgrade his program that he wrote. So it was kind of funny. But he, you know, he's a super smart guy. And, you know, obviously he's now in the veteran's home. And the iPhone is, it's just his nemesis, right? He cannot work the iPhone. And this same thing happened to my mom. I'm going to take a class, Tommy. I'm going to get it figured out. And she never did. But my dad, he just cannot seem to work the iPhone. And this is a guy that spent his, you know, every night, where's dad? He's back in his office on the computer. Just loved computers, right? He loved all of that stuff. But man, he has definitely hit a wall when it comes to this iPhone. And he constantly turns the freaking ringer off. And I'm like, Dad, you know, I have to call the veterans home. Can you go see if my dad's, you know, I haven't talked to him for a couple of days. And I tried to call him on Veterans Day. I wanted to wish him a happy Veterans Day. Couldn't get a hold of him. I had to work yesterday. I wasn't able to go up and visit him. And so, you know, I have to call up there. Can you go see if my dad's ringer's on? And I did a FaceTime with him the other night. I'm like, Dad, the button on the left at the top. I bought him a brand new phone. I will say maybe that is part of the problem because, you know, the iPhone used to have a little toggle switch at the top left that you could turn the ringer on and off. Now you hold down a button and it turns it on and off. And I think my dad is trying to hold down something and he keeps turning the ringer off. And so I'll call him and he won't answer. And so it was a couple of days. I hadn't been able to get a hold of him. I saw him on Sunday, but I did not see him Monday or Tuesday. So I got up this morning, went up and saw him. And of course his ringer was off and, but we chatted, you know, he's doing good. Yeah, it's interesting having a conversation with him because, you know, if my dad was 30 years younger, you'd be like, all right, man, you got to get up. You know, let's take on the day. Let's do these things. Let's participate. But at 88, 89, I guess he's 88 now. He, you know, he just really is not interested. He says he is, but, you know, he's not really making a lot of effort. I'm like, you should be getting up. You know, you were, you know, doing so much. And I said, can I order the Washington Post, you know, have it deliver here every day for you? I'm like, you should get up, have a nice cup of coffee, read the paper. He's like, yeah, I should do that. He's not going to do it. He's just like, I don't know. But, and I don't want to give up on him. I mean, I'll never give up on him, but I don't want to give up on giving him suggestions. But at the same time, right, you know, 88's a long time, and he's pretty cozy just doing what he's doing. But yeah, got to see him. Happy Veterans Day. Off today, I thought, had another couple cool things as far as today. So this week, so Monday, one of the guys I sponsor is celebrating a year of sobriety. That is awesome. He is celebrating tonight. And then I went to the Wednesday meeting that I go to now at noon, and there was another person there celebrating a year. Congratulations. Sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, I haven't been going to the evening meeting. Sort of replaced it with a noon meeting. And I'm a big fan of the noon meeting. Love the noon meeting, in fact. But my buddy is celebrating tonight, so I have I'm going to go to I went to the noon meeting already. Went to that celebration. It was awesome. Congratulations. And now I'm going to go to the evening meeting. So I'm going to do a twofer. And but the meeting today was great because it was about fear, right? And let's see if I can read it. I took a picture of the page. It says, resolving fear, page 61, as Bill sees it. Fear somehow touched about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, but we often set the ball rolling ourselves. Yes. The problem of resolving fear has two aspects. We shall have to try for all the freedom from fear that is possible for us to attain. Then we shall need to find both the courage and the grace to deal constructively with whatever fear remains. Yeah. Fear is interesting. It is interesting. I remember when I first read that in the first step that everything that we have become has all been about fear. Skid Row, their version. Very cool. Very cool. Love it. Yeah, it is a... fear is a trippy... You know, like I've said before, man, my buddy Matt used to say, two spirits can't exist in the same body at the same time. Okay, what are we going to do with that, right? So, I talk about these demons, right? I got in trouble for talking about demons. It just makes... When I'm trying to lay out the playing field here... When I'm trying to lay out all the game pieces, if I can at least call certain things, that way I get an idea of why they are what they are and what brings them to where they are. And, you know, fear to me is self. And self to me is a devil. It's the main kingpin, the main devil, self. And we can call different things different names, but that's, in my game board, that's what it is. The devil is self. And on the other side of the table, we have humility, which is God. Dun-dun-dun, they are the leaders of the pack, right? And under them, we got jealousy, We've got arrogance. We've got inconvenience and all these other little things, right? And they all live under the, like, the fear umbrella. And then over here in the happy side of the board, we got God and humility and joy and all the little cool characters that come with that side of the board. My thought of fear prior to getting sober would have been obviously, like, I remember going to jail. I was afraid, right? What was afraid of? Getting beat up. I don't know. Being in jail, right? Losing my freedom. All of these, not being able to do drugs and alcohol. I think that was probably the top fear I had, was not being able to get high, because I remember saying I thought I was going to be in a work release where I could actually, in my demented, stupid little brain, I thought that I could be in work release and still get high. That's, you know, that's like the number one worry of my life at that time, is am I going to be able to get high? That was my fear. It's not really fear. That's about inconvenience, right? Arrogance and all that. And I remember when I found out that I was not staying in that freaking work release and I was getting sent to jail, I had a freaking meltdown because I was now being inconvenienced and now arrogance was there. And all of a sudden I'm crying and screaming and calling a lawyer, acting like an absolute baby. Right, they're all these little devils have been with me for a long time. But that was my thought of fear. And when I read the big book, or the 12 and 12, that fear made us like this, I was like, I don't understand how that could be. And I shared in a podcast just recently about how, you know, I wanted to impress my buddy and I said yes to drinking, you know, because I was afraid, right? I was afraid he wouldn't like me or he wouldn't think I was cool. And so I did it. And so it started to make sense to understand how fear works in my life, right? And then we come to whatever it is that we come to and end up, wherever it is that we end up, and we have that moment where we have to say, we admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, right? First humble thing, right? It's going to take all of us, right? We can't do this alone. It says it. We can't do this alone. We admit it. First humble thing, right? We as a group, first humble thing I'd ever done to admit that I am powerless over alcohol. And really, you could change that word. We admitted we are powerless over self, that our lives have become unmanageable. Or I could even go even farther. We admitted we are powerless over the devil and that my life's become unmanageable because of him. Whether it's drinking, right, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is that we decide and we make a choice to do, right? But alcohol is really the crazy one, because, like, if I go and tell a lie, it doesn't mean that I can't stop lying now, right? Like, if I told a lie or a little white lie or whatever it is, I'd probably, I don't think I'd be overwhelmed with the desire to lie more and more, right? My unfortunate one is the drinking, right? And so if I put alcohol into my mouth, some weird spiritual fucking thing happens, man, and I can't stop. But that doesn't happen to me with lying, right? It doesn't happen to me with food. It doesn't happen to me with money. It doesn't happen to me with sex. It's the alcohol. That one's got me. That's my devil. Right? And when I started to understand, you know, how this starting to kind of work, and believe me, it didn't happen right away, but through the process of working these steps and identifying, right? What we're really identifying is all the things that keep us from being a very, 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 very good person. Plain and simple, right? If I'm going to admit I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life has become unmanageable, hopefully that removes the alcohol problem, right? Okay, we got a problem. We're not doing it anymore, right? Then it asks me, believe in God. I know it's hard for you to believe in it because people like myself need evidence, right? I need proof. It says we don't have any proof. I'm just going to ask you to believe and act like it's true. And that took me a while. But, you know, I believe it and I act like it's true today for sure. Three, we say, let's just make better choices. Let's see how better choices work in your life for a while. You've been making a lot of bad ones, right? If you're making bad choices and it reflects in your life, that means that you are living with the devil, right? You're making bad choices that serve self. And what's bad? Who knows? That's for a different podcast, but, you know, it's probably not on the path to serenity. But if I'm making bad choices, that means I'm still living with the devil. So why don't we do something different and start making positive choices? And I tell you, if you're a guy like me who's made a lot of bad choices in his life and you start making positive choices, that starts to feel good. You know what that feeling is? It's called a life free of fear, or less fear than I have, because nobody, you know, including myself, does this perfectly. And definitely not in the beginning. But I tell you, in the beginning, I remember just not drinking and driving was like a huge fear. And to be like free of that fear was huge. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I've never felt like this. Right? They call it the pink cloud. That was my first dipping my toe into a life free of fear. Free of the devil. But, it's more than drinking, right? It's a lot more than drinking. Drinking is just a decision. Drinking is a character defect. But then, you know, we go into the fourth step and we do that moral inventory and we start to learn, right, about us. You know, the Mr. Jones, I won't get into it, but, you know, we learn and then we get into the fifth step and we start, you know, really figuring out what it's about. And then we talk to and share it with another person. Right, to keep us honest. And then we get into the sixth and seventh and we start working on the character defects that create the fear. The public and the private. This is where it gets tough. And honestly, and I can only say this because I'll have 17 years being free of drugs and alcohol, and I, over that 17 years, have learned this. But it is a slow process, right? What do they say? We stop working when the pain goes away, right? And, for me, it was like, whew, I had a lot of pain early on. I had a lot of pain prior to getting sober. So I remember coming in and being like, well, this is a lot less painful. But, you know, as we get better and we spend the time working on this program and working on ourselves, we start to get sick of the pain. You know, today a few people shared, you know, they still deal with fear. And I don't, I'm not afraid. I have no fear today. and if I do, I know why. Right? I have absolutely, because I remember early on getting sober, I was still doing dumb shit, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing. You know, maybe it wasn't to the extent or to the degree that I would have in the past, but there were, you know, shortcomings, right? And they still created fear. You know, I'm sober, I'm working a program, and I'm still tortured by fear. But really what I'm tortured about is really the third step. Am I turning my will and my thinking over to a care of a God of my understanding, or am I still living the life that I was living? You know, I hate to say this, you know, email them, but there's a lot of people that are in this program that are not working the steps like they should be. And so they're sober, they're free of the drink, but they're not free of the self. Right? What came first, self or the fear? Self. Right? Because it's something self does that creates the fear. Who's self? The devil. If the devil's in me, who isn't? God. It's just that simple. It's just that fucking simple. You know, I remember reading this book and looking at all this literature and thinking, oh my God, this is so complicated. It really is not very complicated at all. But for a guy like me, it takes subtlety. It takes brushing the hair out of my eyes. Listen, you're going to make it, buddy. But it really comes down to this. Be very, very, very honest, rigorously honest. Work the 12 steps of this program, and you, my friend, will not have fear. Simple. Be a very, very, very good person. It's just, can we do it? You know, what are we willing to give up? You know, clearly I gave up drinking. But was I giving up flirting while I'm married? Yeah. I don't know. You know, it seems pretty innocent. I'm not cheating. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, God, you know, start thinking about it. And, you know, it wears you out. So you can't really do that. We'll try every 500 different ways to do it. And it always still leads to the same thing, fear. You know, but it's just, you know, today, that's what I call God today. Peace, love, free of fear. It's an existence. It's a byproduct. God, peace, love, free of fear is a byproduct of just good, sober, serene living. Like I shared in the meeting, it's real easy to be great for this hour. We all look awesome. But it's the other 23 hours of the day, right? It's the time where no one's around. It's in the car. It's publicly and privately parts of our lives. Are we willing to give up the stuff that self likes, but in turn creates fear? Are we willing to? And like I said, you know, we work until the pain stops. And my pain threshold was pretty high. And so coming into the program, I was like, shit, I quit drinking. That's freaking pretty good. But then I, you know, proceeded to do what I do, and I suffer, and I feel the pain, and I'm like, God damn, right? Continue to take personal inventory, right? And when we were wrong, promptly admit it. But for a long time, I just kept doing it. And so more fear. But today, you know, I get it, man. This is all demons. They're all spirits. It's all, you know, as wackadoodle as that sounds, you know, I think, you know, when I talked about saying my buddy was possessed by a devil, it's like, oh, I can't believe someone would say that. Well, we got to say it. It's hard to understand what our problem is if we're just saying, oh, you know how I am. You know how this head is. You know how I can get. No, how can you get? And what gets us there? And then there's always these little fucking demons that are just trying to keep us separated from this program. Nothing out there in that frame of the world wants us to be sober. It wants us to be alone, drinking, and hopefully put a gun to the side of our head. Right? Dead. No more self. No more anything. And so I guess the point of it is, and, you know, I hate saying it in a meeting, but the reality is it's up to us. We choose how happy we want to be. And it can be a slow grind. You know, we skin our knee, and finally we say, I don't want to skin my knee anymore. So I'm going to stop doing that. And we get better, but it takes time. And but we can live in a life, an existence where we are free of fear. All we have to do is free of bad behavior, publicly and privately. It's just that simple. You know, and that's hard to do, man, because we are just humans. And we do, you know, someone looks at us the right or wrong way, and we, you know, the devil shows up, right? Someone, you know, driving doesn't drive the way we want, the devil shows up. Client comes in. I sort of had this happen to me the other day. And, you know, the topic of inconvenience and arrogance, you know, it's real easy to point when so-and-so is being inconvenienced and arrogant. And look at that behavior. But shit, you know, I have to look at myself too. And, you know, that whole thing that happened a couple weeks ago, you know, should have never happened. I was also arrogant, right? I'd become arrogant because I didn't appreciate the way my coach was not praising me, right? Not pointing out what a good job I was doing. So I, in turn, my attitude, my personality was changing as well. And so when everything came together, because I remember I said, oh, and by the way, you had said I would be here at a certain time and I'm here, so you're welcome. Right? Like that, you're welcome. I was being a jerk. Should have never even gotten to that place. I could tell there was tension with him and I for a while, and I should have said something. And I didn't. So I'm just as much to blame. It is a, you know, it's a slow, it's crazy. And it doesn't have to happen. I, even in my moment of feeling like I'm being such a good person, I have to check my motives. And yeah, and so, you know, the point is, you know, we don't have to live in fear today. If we choose to, we just have to dig in and do a lot of hard work. And then, you know, check ourselves and stop being, you know, a jerk. And we won't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about looking over our shoulders or any of that stuff. All right, let's see. Let's read the daily reflections. And, yeah, I think, you know, the idea of learning what fear is blew my mind, right? The idea that two spirits cannot exist in the same body at the same time, that blows my mind. But it makes a lot of sense. Right. And so what it says to me is, if I'm being a jerk, there is no God in my life, period. It's not like I'm half God, half devil. It's all, you know, I guess that it goes one way or the other. It can come in and out, right? It doesn't mean, like, you know, I'm losing my mind and hearing voices, but I do think it, you know, it makes sense to start understanding, at least for me, you know, why I'm into these situations and how to get out of them and what's behind it. You know, just the idea that, oh, you know how I am, that doesn't work anymore. Not if we want to get better. All right, daily reflections. Let's see what we got here. Dude. All right, November 12th, morning thoughts. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Yeah. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. For many years, I pondered over God's will for me, believing that perhaps a great destiny had been ordained for my life. After all, having been born into a specific faith, hadn't I been told early that I was chosen? What? I was chosen. It finally occurred. Yeah, see, I had this. Let me just start that over. Some of this reading is crazy. For many years, I pondered over God's will for me, believing that perhaps a great destiny had been ordained for my life. After all, having been born into a specific faith, hadn't I been told early that I was chosen? It finally occurred to me as I considered the above passage that God's will for me was simply that I practice step 12 on a daily basis. Furthermore, I realized I shouldn't do this to the best of my ability. I soon learned that the practice aids me in keeping my life in the context of the day at hand. Yeah. You know, I went to a meeting on Monday. I didn't do a podcast. I just didn't get a chance. And I was like, you know, I don't know. But, you know, one of the, it was a big book meeting, and I think it was 4-7. I don't know the page, but after the guy that was leading the meeting read, he said, you know, and basically shared, there's part of me that wants to leave this meeting after here and going to get high. And, you know, of course, everybody's like, oh my God, don't do it. Don't do it, man. I remember when I got drunk after 4 years, I stopped going to meetings. I didn't go to a meeting and announce that I thought I was going to drink. Right. My devil was like, fuck that. We don't want anything getting in the way of that. We're not going to a meeting. In fact, the devil explained to me why going to that meeting was a bad idea and we needed to find a new one. I've shared that story 1,000 times. But, you know, and I shared that, you know, not only, you know, I remember coming into my first meeting and just feeling like I, you know, like, oh my God, what am I doing, right? What is going on here? And sitting down. And I remember a guy sharing that, you know, if I was the only one that came, because I remember, you know, what can I do as a, like a newcomer to help, you know, give back? You know, I know nothing. That's why they make a lot of cool little opportunities for newcomers to take responsibilities and be part of and, you know, making coffee and being a greeter and all that stuff. But I remember a guy said, listen, if you were the only one here and a newcomer came in today, you would have the most time. I was like, yeah, I guess I would, right? You are now here to be the next, to be the guy that's there for the newcomer that comes in. And I was like, wow, I never had really thought about that. And, you know, I was like, and I shared that and when I talked to the, in the meeting, I said, you know, that's great. You think you want to go get drunk, but, you know, you also have another responsibility, and that is to the newcomer. You know, our job now is to be here for the newcomer. I mean, it says, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these 12 steps, our job now is to be here for the newcomer. But you can be here for the newcomer day one. Right? There's a great story. My sponsor shared a night when he came down to go to a meeting, and he had been away from the program, you know, not drinking, but just, you know, slipped away for a while and was starting to struggle and have trouble, and went to a meeting, and for some reason he hadn't been to the meeting and they had changed the time, and so when he went there it was a locked door. And at the same time another guy pulls up and he's looking for a meeting, and they say, I guess there's no meeting, and they start to drive away, and he comes back and he says, hey man, do you want to go get a cup of coffee? And the guy said, yeah. And so they went and got a cup of coffee, and that was a meeting, you know, and those both those guys are sober today and share that story at their anniversaries. But had one of those guys not been there, that story may change. And so, you know, and I think my buddy was just having some downtime. He was struggling a little bit. And, you know, sometimes it feels good for a bunch of people to give you, to tell you how much they love you and how much they appreciate you. And I appreciate this guy. He is, I think he probably has a year now, but he's, you know, he's taking a commitment. He shows up every day. You know, so he's doing good. But, you know, man, it's tough. It's tough getting sober because after a while, right, after that pink cloud fades away, you know, we're just a guy trying to stay sober going to meetings. And, you know, it's a rough path. But hang in there one day at a time. I appreciate it. Listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. I appreciate you letting me share, and I will catch you later. Bye.